Hi, and welcome to financeprofessor.com's second podcast. Today we will be not only learning to use podcasting software, but also looking at market efficiency. Very few things are dear to the heart of an academic finance professor than market efficiency, so we'll be looking at that. And I think the starting point will have to be, what do we mean by market efficiency? The shortest definition that I can give you is that the asset price reflects the present value of the expected future cash flows. Or in English, I would call it the price is right. On average, the market will correctly price the asset. Now, it's key to say on average because the market does not always do it correctly. Sometimes the market, obviously market prices move up and down with new information. We don't always predict everything perfectly. But on average, we do a pretty good job. Looking at market efficiency, before we even get into what we generally look at in finance classes, I want to break down types of market efficiency slightly differently than most financial textbooks do. The three types of market efficiency that I always begin off with in class are operational efficiency, allocational efficiency, and informational efficiency. Operational efficiency is essentially how well the marketplace in that country, that market, does lowering transaction costs, how easily investors can buy and sell, how high liquidity is, how low transaction costs are. Operational efficiency is important because without operational efficiency, people will not trade on the information, and therefore the prices will not reflect all available information. Allocational, the second type of market efficiency that we speak of, it means that how well the market allocates scarce resources, in our case capital, to its highest valued use. A market is very allocationally efficient if it gets it right, if it puts money where it should be going. That's based on a lot of informational efficiency, and that's the third type of market efficiency, and the one that in finance we spend most of the time, and most financial textbooks spend almost all of the time talking about. Informational efficiency says how well do asset prices reflect currently available or all available information. We will speak about them in a few seconds here. I want to take a quick break, and we'll be back about 2 seconds looking at different forms of informational efficiency. Hi, and welcome back. The three forms of informational efficiency, and these are the ones you're probably most familiar with if you have taken any finance class, investments, corporate finance, you name it. We probably covered it in some detail. There are weak form efficiency, semi-strong form efficiency, and strong form efficiency. And as the name suggests, weak form is not as efficient. The prices do not reflect all available information. Probably the best known person in all of finance is Eugene Fama, and in 1991 he wrote a paper that was basically on market efficiency, entitled Market Efficiency 2, in which he looked at how we can test these various forms of efficiency. In some sense, he renamed this, in fact, and I think his new names might explain a lot, go a lot further. Weak form efficiency is really looking to see if the market price reflects all past information, all stock price data, all volume data, essentially looking at technical analysis. What he called this was tests of return predictability. In this area, we're looking for serial correlations, we're looking for runs tests, we're trying to see if there are patterns that exist. And if there are patterns that exist, the market price does not reflect all information, and therefore the market would be deemed weak form. If there are no patterns, if there's no correlations between stock price on day one and stock price on day two, they're said to be serially uncorrelated or no correlation, and the market price is weak form efficient. Generally, most of the evidence points to a fairly with some exceptions, a fairly weak form efficient market. There are some exceptions, especially if we look at currency markets and whatnot, but by and large, the market is weak form efficient, and therefore, generally, looking at technical analysis does not seem to work very well. The second form of informational efficiency is semi-strong form efficient. Fama called this event studies, how we would test for this. And this, what this is looking at is how well the market incorporates publicly available information. An event study looks to see what happens to the stock price after the event is made known. For instance, some of the more famous ones, Jensen and Rubak, look at mergers and acquisitions. When a merger or an acquisition is announced, generally speaking, the stock price of the target firm jumps. That is an event study. We like to see event studies that the price reacts very quickly, and on average, the market should get it right. We like to, in the way we draw it on a board or anything, event studies, we should have right angles. We should see a big jump, and then we should see it being correctly priced, the abnormal return going back to zero afterwards. The other way of testing for semi-strong form efficiency is if people are using publicly available information and consistently beating the market on a risk-adjusted basis. While there are some, obviously Warren Buffett comes to mind, there are very few. The combination of event studies and the fact that few people consistently beat the market on a risk-adjusted basis originally led almost all academics to believe that the market is semi-strong form efficiency. Implications of this would be you do index funds, you watch your transaction costs, all absolutely good investment advice. However, in the past few years, in the past decade or so, we are beginning to see some chinks in this armor, and some people are now saying the market is not semi-strong form efficient. We'll come back to that in a few seconds. Strong form efficiency is the last form of market informational efficiency. And what this says is that the price, stock price, reflects all available information, including private and public information. I think all we need to do is look at insider trading, and we see that insiders do consistently beat the market on a risk-adjusted basis. Therefore, the market is not strong form efficient. In that sense, we do have somewhat of a consensus building that the market tends to be semi-strong form efficient, but not semi-strong form perfect. And we'll talk a little more about that in a few seconds and some of the implications of whether the market is strong form is truly semi-strong form efficient. As we said, in the past decade, there has been a consensus. There have been many findings looking at markets and market efficiency, and we're finding that stock prices are not necessarily always correct. The internet bubble comes to mind. We see prices. We see, in at least portions of the time, we see patterns that do develop. This has led many more academics to look at it, many people outside of academia to look at it, and has really led to what we call the school of behavioral finance, the school of thought where people do not always act rationally, that for some reason people, be it emotions, be it hurting, be it whatever, they no longer are just making strictly dollars and cents investments, or they are consistently making mistakes, errors. If this is the case, and people can you do it without making these errors, we're going to see that the market is not efficient. Some of the names here we want to look at are Barber and O'Dayan, who have a whole series of papers that look at individual trading, and they find that they trade a lot more than they should. They're overly confident. Thaler has numerous papers out, and they're all somewhat similar, suggesting that the markets, at least a portion of the market, is irrational, that they are over-trading, there's over-volatility, etc. And I think if we look at this, we might want to take a different tack on it and look at it through other markets. Why is this happening? And I think the general consensus where this happens most, where this is most likely to happen, is where there is very limited trading, where it's just not worth the big guys, you know, the institutional investors' time and money to go in and arbitrage this away. If in penny stocks, that's for example, if a large mutual fund tried to buy or sell millions of dollars of shares in this penny stock, it would drive the price up dramatically. There's very little liquidity. In that context, that is where we want to look for more irrational behavior occurring. Overall, and we will come back to behavioral finance in a later episode here, but overall it seems that the markets are pretty good. They're not perfect. There are some exceptions. And the view that markets are always efficient has taken a hit in the last 10 years or so. It still is interesting, however, to look at what most finance professors do with their own money, and most of them do index, even the ones that are writing the papers finding these pockets of inefficiency. So overall, the markets seem to be pretty good, and even the people who are writing this saying they're not pretty good or they're not perfect will concede that they are pretty good. Just a quick recap, three forms of informational efficiency: weak form, semi-strong form, and strong form. General consensus, not perfect, but pretty close to semi-strong form efficiency. We will talk a little about allocational efficiency in our next episode. Thank you, and enjoy the next episode. You have been listening to FinanceProfessor.com's podcast. It is available online for free, and this is a review of market efficiency.